Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaming Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaming Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Promise is faithful. You can stay standing for our opening song.
Turn to number 2 in your song folders. Number 2.
Invite the ushers to come forward to receive this morning's offering. As you see in the offering, in the bulletin, all this month our offerings are mainly going towards the missionaries that we support, the Flams, the Millers, the Miners, Phillips, and the Snaders, plus some additional budgeted items. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. Thank you that we know that you are the Holy One. You are totally separate from everything you created. And yet you are so near to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by your Spirit. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to give back to you some of what you've given us through our work and labor. I pray you would use these gifts and offerings mightily in your work amongst our missionaries around the world, and also in other items that are needed. I pray you bless these offerings and bless the givers as they give to you joyfully. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. I'd invite you to join me for a prayer this time. Lord, you are holy And I just was overwhelmed with that thought as we sang, "You're worthy of our praise, God. We are so imperfect, and I stand before you as an imperfect speaker, imperfect pastor. We are an imperfect church. We are imperfect people. And yet you, holy God, loved us enough to send your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us and rise again. And you want us to grow in love and in purpose, in living for you. You've brought us here this morning, and you've given us your word. You've given us each other to try to help in that process. You've given us your spirit. So we just want to commit this time to you, and we thank you for it. I thank you for the children's church that was just dismissed, and we ask for a blessing on that group and Darla and Lillian as they lead out, and the young people that help. And God, I pray as your word is shared this morning and the thoughts you've given me, I pray and trust that your spirit will work in each of our hearts, that you would do what you want and that we would respond to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Our main text this morning is from Judges, chapter 2, and into a bit into chapter 3. Kind of the main themes from this I have on the screen here. I see God's loving warnings, the effects of failure when they didn't follow those warnings, and God's judgment, compassion, and mercy. And I'm going to try to make a connection with us relating it to mice. Do any of you have mice in your houses, in your homes? Nobody. Good. I'm not aware that we do currently, but for about 8 years, we lived in a house trailer in the woods, and we could not get rid of them. One particular fall, winter, I remember quite a number that were gave up their lives. There's a little clip I want to try and show. Calvin, this has some audio, so we'll give it a shot. If Okay. We laugh, I think, because we know that doesn't happen. And this is what usually happens. Now, I know there are stories of the mouse that keeps, avoiding the traps and getting the food. But in general, the traps usually work, and the mouse ends up dead. So I think in the account that we're going to look at today, I think God was warning them about traps and about being ensnared. And I'd like us to keep kind of... I found this image and it was kind of interesting to me. I don't know if you can see the name of this particular mouse trap. It's Lucifer. It's like, wow, that fits too. Before I read some from Judges, I want to do a bit of background from Deuteronomy chapter 7. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, maybe before I do that, I'll ask a question. Don't be ensnared. What's the first of the Ten Commandments? What's the first of the Ten Commandments? Love the Lord your God. Kind of. I am the Lord your God, and then the first... Have no other gods before me. Yeah, if you, I think I have the scripture up here. Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. And I think that's what he's, as they come to the promised land, so then now they've crossed the Jordan River, they've taken over Jericho, God gave them Jericho, and now they're entering the places where they're going to live. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, he tells them some things ahead of time about how this is supposed to happen to keep them from being ensnared, to keep them from being trapped, and for them to have no other gods before the Lord. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, I won't read all those, bunch of different peoples, seven nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. I'm going to skip down to verse 16. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. You may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You say, you saw with your eyes, your own eyes, the great trials, the miraculous signs and wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. He will give their kings into your hands, and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver or gold on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor and destroy it, for it is set apart for destruction. So I read that as background to the children of Israel as they're taking over the land that God was bringing them into and how they were to approach that. In that that account, the basic theme I see is that they're to be wholehearted. God is supposed to be number one, and they're supposed to have no other gods before them. Everything was to be destroyed, and he was warning them about the potential to be ensnared by their gods. Now to Judges 2. And I kind of broke up this these verses into chunks. And so the first one is Judges 2, 1 to 5. Judges 2, 1 to 5. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now therefore, I tell you that I will not drive out before you. Now therefore I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. Then the angel of the Lord, when the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called the place Bochim, which means weepers. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. The things I noticed were that we see God's faithfulness. He had the covenant, and He was holding up His end of that. But the people didn't follow it. They didn't get rid of the altars or the gods of these people. They were going to be ensnared by that, and God was bringing punishment on them. He's not going to drive them out completely. And I kind of noticed this sort of useless sorrow. They wept aloud. They were, you know, appeared to be sorry about this. They offer sacrifices, but as we continue to read, it didn't really change anything. They didn't get rid of their gods, the gods of the other peoples. The next chunk is Judges 2, 6 to 13. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at an age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnah-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that, the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook Him and served Baal and the Ashtoreth. Maybe I'll stop there. The things I see here are the value of godly leadership. So while Joshua was still living and the elders, it says they were following them. Doesn't mean those leaders were perfect at all, but they certainly helped to influence the people in the right direction. I note the importance of times of transition. I kind of talked about that, when Joshua was coming on as a leader. Now Joshua's, we remembered how Moses died and it was a big transition. Now Joshua's dead and it's a significant transition. Transitions in our lives are really important. If we aren't prepared for it with a commitment to the Lord, I think we're vulnerable to falling away. And that's certainly what happened to the Israelites. The next generation didn't know God or what He had done. And, you know, that's a challenge to young people here this morning. And to each of us, really. We're each part of a generation. You know, you could look at, does our generation know the Lord like the generation before us? Or, you know, I don't know where each of you are at in life, whether you want to look down or look older. But anyway, look at yourselves and ask, am I a generation? Am I a person? Do I know the Lord? And do I know what He's done? That was God's assessment of this next group of people coming up, that they didn't really know Him. They didn't know the things He had done. And what did that lead to? It led to them forsaking God. Well, you know, we don't really know God and we haven't really seen all that much that He's done for us. So why not serve these other gods? It was a trap for them. They forsook God. They didn't think they needed Him. Next section, Judges 2, 14 and 15. In His anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as He had sworn to them. They were in great distress. So we see that they found themselves fighting against God. When they thought they didn't need Him, they allowed these other gods to be a part of their lives. They found themselves fighting God, and their experience was great distress. Judges 2:16-19. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned away from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, He was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to the ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. So God in His compassion provides these leaders, these judges, because He saw them in this distress of being overtaken by their enemies. But even when they had those leaders, they struggled with listening to them, and they often wouldn't listen to them. And it kind of talks about this downward cycle of disobedience. They had a leader, a strong leader, and they kind of followed God, but they struggled with listening to them. And as soon as that leader died, they went back to their old ways and even worse. And they invited these other gods into their lives. Next section. 20:3-6. This is the last one. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, because this nation has violated the covenant that I laid down for their forefathers and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it, as their forefathers did. The Lord had allowed these nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains and Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which He had given their forefathers through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. So we notice that God allowed these nations there to test Israel's obedience. They pretty much failed the test. And one of the ways that that last verse I read, they failed in intermarriage, which we read about in the Deuteronomy passage. They weren't supposed to mix with these people at all. They were supposed to be totally destroyed, and they also served their gods. And just a note on that, I don't think the intermarriage part was anything about race or anything like that. I think it had to do with their faith. And it was about not being unequally yoked and not having no other gods before them. And that if they allowed this intermarriage to happen, it would be a snare because of the beliefs and the gods of these other people. You shall have no other gods before me. I wonder if we could just say that command, that verse together. You shall have no other gods before me. And that's really what was on God's heart in giving them these warnings. He didn't want them to be ensnared, to be trapped, like that mouse. He didn't want them to experience what that would do to them. The themes of all of this are God's loving warnings, the effects of failure, God's judgment, and His amazing compassion and mercy in spite of this. You know, these people continually turned away from Him, and it was kind of this downward cycle, and yet He doesn't wipe them out. And I have to think of His mercy and compassion on us as people, how I allow other things in my life, and God works at ways at trying to draw me back, trying to draw us back, trying to draw us away from those other gods that are around us. Don't be ensnared. Get rid of other gods. They will only ensnare you. You know, I don't know what may be a temptation to be another god in your life. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit might convict you in that. But His call to us this morning would be to get rid of it. Don't allow the mouse trap there in your life. Don't hang around it. It's only going to ensnare you. There was a example from our Sunday school class, I think, last week. I wasn't there, but Travis was telling me about this. I think I have this illustration kind of correct. And I put the 49ers up there, Joe Montana, for Dorothy. I'm not sure if she's here this morning, but she's a big Joe Montana fan. So in football, they all go out and they typically have a huddle and they get to play and, yeah, we're going to do this, get together. And The example in Sunday school was like the speaker was saying, sometimes it feels like as Christians we're like that in our church settings, that we kind of come together, maybe we hear the word, we kind of get the play from God, and yeah, we get the play, and then it's like we all run over to the sidelines and sit on the bench, and we never actually do it. And that would be a challenge for us this morning, that if God, through His Spirit, makes you aware of things in your lives that are other gods, that you're allowing in your life, that you would not just, run to the sideline, but that you would do something about it and that you would get rid of it so that they don't ensnare you like they did the children of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your love for us, your incredible compassion and mercy when we continually make poor choices. God, give us faith even in our unbelief. We talked in our class a little bit about times of questioning, and Lord, that's just part of who we are as sinful human beings. God, help us in spite of our unbelief. Lord, if you would look on us as a generation who doesn't know you and doesn't know of your works, God, help us in that. Help us to know you. Help us to know your works. God, help us to allow you in our lives to act and to move, to not always try to find the answer ourselves, but in some way to depend on you so that we can actually see you working. And Lord, if there are things that we're allowing in our lives that are in some way other gods that we're putting above you, help us, God, to get rid of them. To not hang around the trap. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mennonite hymnal number 356. 356.
Thank you.
Thank you for leading us in that song. This is our sharing time. What things would you like to share?
Hello, this is Nelson. I'd like to just put a plug in for December 14 through 18. That is the week that we decided on. It suits most people to tear down the garage just in the rental property below us. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Spread the word. We can use, I don't like to use the word laborers, but that's about what it is. And also kitchen or food preparation people. So appreciate sign-up so we have a little bit of an idea how much to prepare for and what kind of a group we're going to have to work. So appreciate anything you can do. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is Randy Souter. Some of you know that in April I am biking from Baltimore to the Key West for the Almond Cancer Fund. There's going to be fundraisers and stuff coming up, but just keep us, me and the group, and the family in their prayers as we do this. Thank you.
This is Kelly Horning. I just wanted to thank you for praying for my mom as she recovers from open heart surgery. We praise God for the little steps forward that she's made this week.
This is Mary Allen. Just remember Cheryl Fisher this week. She's having surgery on Tuesday. Following surgery, she'll be receiving radiation treatments beginning of December.
Okay, please pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and for being with us. Thank you that you know all about our lives, and I pray for each one and our own concerns and difficulties in life, and we want to share as a family these things now. We want to thank you for the property and facility that you've given us here. I pray that you would help us to be good stewards of it. And as we kind of wrestle with how to use that well and possibilities of changes, please guide us. And as we undertake this project to tear down part of the garage on the rental property, I pray that you would bless that. We ask for safety. We pray for a good time of working together. Thank you for Randy's opportunity to bike a long way with a group of people and to raise funds for those battling cancer. I pray that you would bless that and bless his family and that whole process. And we commit it to you. Thank you for being with Marion, Kelly's mom, during her open heart surgery. It's been kind of a slow go here, but we thank you that it's been going the right direction, and I pray for her that you would continue to help her to heal and to recover. Bless her emotionally, spiritually, in all ways, God, that you'd give her strength through this time and help her to sense your presence. We pray for Cheryl and her continued just health issues. Pray that you would continue to help her to have a positive outlook. Thank you that she often has. And thank you for the support through Mary Ellen and others. And I pray that you would bless her during the surgery, that it would go well, Lord. Our offerings this month are for the Flams, Millers, Miners, Phillips, and Esther Snader. And we pray for them in a special way.
now in their different places all around the world, God, as they go about life and as they have opportunity to serve and to build relationships. I pray that you would bless them, that you would provide for them, that you would give them opportunities to speak of their faith and love for you. Help them to feel our support. And as we go now, Lord, from this place, help us to remember your words to us, to not be ensnared, and to not allow other gods before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. You go in peace.